Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up, Star Wars news fam? So good to be back with y'all. Ryan and I haven't talked all week. It's been crazy. Before we get into it, I'm Steph Zabraw, Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, and I have my co-pilot with me, not with me physically, but in spirit, Ryan Nelson.
That's right. In the spirit of the Force, co-pilot Ryan here. Steph, it's been a long week. I think we're approaching like a month on quarantine.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
What is that? Time doesn't make sense anymore.
And things are changing. You got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You're spilling things on carpets.
Oh my.
Probably should have said that.
It's been such a, they don't watch this, luckily. I'm curious what Laura, in the, if you're in the chat, if Ryan spilled the male equivalent to nail polish, which I don't think there is one because it is the devil, I have recently found out, on the carpet and tried his hardest to get it out on his hands and knees with no good happy ending, would you be mad?
That whole sentence was interesting. I think she'd probably be mad. I don't think Laura's in the chat today because they're actually doing a Zoom meeting with the fam for today.
Aww.
I think they're having a big old fam. Oh, she's here. She says hi, Steph. So shout out to Laura, by the way, guys. Shout out to the whole chat, because we're going to be thrown to the chat a lot today. Love seeing you here every week, Thursday, 4 p.m. Darth Baca, Manny Gonzalez, the regulars. Did I introduce myself?
Yeah, it's been a fun week in Star Wars news. There's a lot to discuss. Let's start with the biggest news, Rosario Dawson. So nothing has been confirmed of her being Ahsoka, but people are thinking that. There's been other rumors now that she could possibly have a multi-type contract where they're setting her up to be in the Star Wars universe in multiple capacities, more than The Mandalorian. So people are thinking, does that mean she's going to get her own show? Right? What goes through your head when you think about that?
A lot goes through my head. Well, so first off, it's this rumor that she might be signed on to multiple series, which could mean, it could maybe it's her own show. I'm thinking, what if she pops up in Obi-Wan Kenobi? Like, she could pop up in the Obi-Wan show for an episode. She could pop up maybe in the, Rogue One guy.
Cassian Andor.
Like, how incredible would that be? Because she is technically, she's involved in the rebellion there. That would be cool, and that would even further legitimize, I think, those series. Like, I would be 10 times more excited for the Cassian Andor series if I knew Ahsoka Tano's popping up in it.
Me too. And I'm just so excited when the fact that it involves Rosario, because she is so awesome. I wonder what it's going to mean. It seems like it's as much as a rumor can be confirmed before it's actually confirmed, it's there. You know, it's right. I feel like it has to be happening.
Yeah, I think it's got to be happening. Do you think it would be her own? It would be her own series, and if so, do you think it's going to be in the time period of Mandalorian?
No, I don't think it'd be in the time period of Mandalorian, or maybe just grazing somehow. I don't know. Like, I guess it would have to be if she showed up in the Mandalorian. No, it wouldn't. But it would be confusing. It would definitely have to be in spring, not a fall show, because it would get confusing. But I think that with a big enough name as Rosario Dawson is and how skilled she is, why wouldn't they explore that?
They should. You know, she was in almost every Netflix Marvel show. I'd be so game for her to be in all the Star Wars live action TV shows as Ahsoka Tano. Steph, honestly, Ahsoka Tano is what's getting me through this quarantine. Like, every week we get some awesome Ahsoka Tano news, and it's giving me life, you know, for everything from her appearances in the Clone Wars episodes over the past couple of weeks to like the books, the casting. I'm just all in on Ahsoka Tano right now. Oh, she's my favorite.
Me too. There's been a lot of news around that and a lot of arguments too, whether or not she's the best Jedi or any sort of lightsaber wielding hero.
She honestly, if we're going to have that conversation, she's my favorite character right now to talk about. I'm all in on Ahsoka Tano. I just think that there's so much interesting mythos, mythology there. She's one of the few characters, I feel, that's only been dealt with by, like, a few people. You know, it was, like, Dave Filoni, and now it looks like we're getting Jon Favreau in Mandalorian, but, like, she's had one clear vision through just one or two creators, whereas all the other characters, I feel like, have been handed off to a bunch of different directors and creators, which is usual. I just think there's more of a singular vision with her right now, and I just can't wait to learn more what they're doing.
Yeah, me too. I'm really, really excited. I think that their series are going to just be awesome and a good change of pace from the movies. But speaking of the movies, right? This has been really fun, actually. There's been a lot of conversation regarding the sequel trilogy.
People were talking shit this week. Sorry, pardon my language.
Speak on it.
They were talking trash about the sequel trilogy, and it wasn't just like fans, as always. This was cast and crew members of the Star Wars movies that are coming out, like Domino Gleeson, I think is how you say it, General Hux, if you will, was like, yeah, I wish my character was in it more in the last movie. I'm like, dude, just chill out, right? Like, we don't even...
I feel like he was in a lot.
Yeah, they went in a weird direction with his character, but his comments... Before we get into that, just a lot of people were talking trash, and I'm just saying, calm down, okay? We just got to take a chill pill, all right? We're in quarantine. I don't know if it's getting to you, but just chill out, man. Everyone's crapping on these sequel trilogy. Maybe it's because the Blu-rays just came out. I don't know, but everyone's just got to take a chill pill, okay? Steph, what do you think?
No, yeah, it's true. I feel like people just don't care anymore. It's whatever they feel like airing out, they air it out. No big deal.
I mean, we got to break these
down. I'm not here for it. I love honesty. If that's how you really feel, talk about it.
Yeah, okay. So Domino Gleeson's like, I wish my character was in it more for episode 9. I wish he didn't go out the way he did. I'm like, okay. So what do you want to do about it, dude? Like, his comments, I felt like, were just so odd. The person interviewing him goes, do you think that the movie cut too much out? And he's like, well, you can't have a 72-hour movie. I'm like, dude, it wasn't going to be 72 hours. It was going to be, like, 2.5 versus 220, all right? Like, 10 minutes. So I don't know. I feel like he's just talking really extreme, and he can't really make up his mind.
Yeah, it was weird. I couldn't really catch a pace of where he was going with each statement, and it flip-flopped from the time to his character's death to every... So it was a weird conversation, but I don't know. Yeah, his character did have a weird direction. I think he could have done the same, like, served the same purpose, but the way he actually went out, like the scene where he got shot, was a little weird.
Yeah, he wanted more backstory on the whole spy thing. Which, look, there's a lot I wanted more backstory on in that movie.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
That is not necessarily one I needed. I thought it was that was actually one of the few beats I thought was pretty funny. Like a good twist, but yeah, he's talking this week. The editors, oh my gosh, the editors of Rise of Skywalker.
You want to talk about that story?
Yeah, so the two editors from Rise of Skywalker, I think it's Marianne Brandon and Mary Jo Markey, who, by the way, really talented editors in the film industry, like two incredible women in film, but just out of nowhere this week, taking a big poop on The Last Jedi, criticizing it for saying, it undid the storytelling in Force Awakens. I'm like, what? What are you doing? What are we doing here? Like, are you... I just don't understand what's going on. Like, who is prompting you to just crap on a movie you just made a sequel to? You edited the sequel to that movie. Why are you taking shots on it?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It's such a bizarre situation when you really think about the entire sequel trilogy and how things went down between Rian Johnson and JJ and the creative direction and all, like, people just take sides like it's teams. And even though they're both very cordial about it, can you imagine being in a room with the two of them? There's just no way that there's no beef because everyone still speaks on it.
Everyone. And I mean, you could say the same exact thing to these two editors, that they undid the storytelling of Last Jedi. You could go back and forth on this, or you could just embrace it and love it and move on.
But if we had to decide, is there one that undid more of what the other did?
Ooh, I want to hear the chat's thought on this, because we've talked about this subject a lot, but I don't think we've ever phrased it like that. Like, which movie undid the other one more?
More.
I'm going to...
Eight from seven or nine from eight?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go with... First impulse is I'm going with nine from eight. I think nine mm-hmm. undid a lot of what eight was setting up. Not necessarily in a... I would say in a character sense. Like, I think eight made a pretty firm choice on, like, you're no one. And then... No, you're not. You're someone. Which is like,
hi, okay. I'm Rey Skywalker. Hello.
Hello. And yet, hey, look, we embrace it. We're fans. Like, I'm in. But
yeah.
When you're going to start saying undid, it's like, take a step back and look at your own movie. I'm just saying. What do you think?
I think more explicitly, nine undid eight. More
there's a lot of
implicitly,
swearing. Yeah.
Oh, well. Eight undid seven. So I think that more outwardly with, you know, the outward character attributions such as a last name and where you came from, that's very just in your face change. But I think if you really look at what eight did with seven in terms of character arcs, it undid a lot.
See, okay, let's have this conversation, Steph.
Okay.
Let's get specific here. You know what? I'm unbuttoning a few things. Let's get specific here. Like, what did 8 specifically... I'm just curious character-wise. What did it, like, specifically undo?
Just sure. Great question, Rye.
Yeah. Just, like, throw one out. I just want to... Which character?
So, I think we were all falling in love with Poe, Finn, and Rey and Chewie. Yes. As a tag team by the end of it, and really wanting to see them as a team take on whatever the galaxy may throw at them, much like Han, Leia, and Luke did.
Okay.
So I think that's massive. But instead, we kind of got, there's still a unit, but they didn't really move together.
Mm. They definitely weren't together. Like, they were all separated in eight. They were like, you know, Rey was on Octu with Luke, Finn was doing his own mission with Rose, and Poe was doing his own mission kind of with Leia. So, you know, you're right. They absolutely were all separated, which is a little unusual. I didn't take that as more of an undid from seven. I just took that as like, all right, for this movie, they're separated, but they all kind of reunite in the end and realize they got to do this together. I actually thought it enhanced a lot of the character stories from seven, especially with like Luke Skywalker, who you're assuming like, oh, he's just going to take the lightsaber back and, you know, like wreck shop. But instead it was a little bit more complicated than that. And I just love what they did with Kylo and Rey. But at the same time, there was a lot of stuff that they started with new characters in eight that it just didn't land right. Like we've talked about Rose a lot, and so I hear you there. But I think it's a great conversation to have. And we got people in the chat just going, we got people saying all of them are good. And then Gregory Castillo saying these movies are trash. I'm like, oh, cool. Ryan Johnson took JJ's story two steps back and they should have given JJ all the movies. You know, I think that's an interesting conversation as well. At the end of the day, they gave Ryan Johnson the second movie. And I almost get like a Jay Leno came back and was like, no, I want to host the late night show a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do nine with JJ coming back. But it's going to be that debate we have with the sequel trilogy. And at the end of the day, it's just kind of how it works with some studio films.
Yeah, it's weird. I it's a weird concept to me what happened in general, how we just switched directors and how it changed and all of this, but it wasn't, I liked all three. So
same.
But I do think all the things that you brought up with nine and eight are true. There was massive changes.
I think they changed course, you know, they changed course. And there was even like an article out this week with the writer, Chris Terrio, saying, this is the most I've ever changed a script throughout the whole process. So they were changing every day. But yeah, and the editors are talking.
Okay,
trash.
And then there's another one, Rye.
Yeah. Oh, Ahmad Best, a.k.a. Jar Jar Binks, who he's yes. getting a new show. He's doing a Jedi Hidden Temple based off of Legends of the Hidden Temple for, what was it, Teen Nick, I believe, which is mm-hmm. so exciting. I can't wait to see that. And he's coming out going, oh, yeah, this new trilogy totally goes against George Lucas. It lacks the faith in the mythology. And I'm like, dude, you just got rehired, man. You just got a job. What's going on? Everyone's just coming out of the woodwork.
Okay,
this
but
week.
Yeah, everyone just doesn't care. They're like, there's a pandemic. If I'm not going to be a straight shooter now, what am I doing? So I think we're going to hear a lot more of this. But he did bring up an interesting point, Ryan. I've thought about this a lot of times where when we got the Disney merger, there you have to understand that there is a change. And I feel like progressively it's more become, I think you can argue either way that it's yeah. for kids or less of the mythology of it all. I go back and forth all the time what ruins the other or what helps the other.
I agree. I just don't agree with the idea that it lacked the mythology. I think there were clear open pockets where they could have maybe expanded upon it a little more that they just didn't, and ultimately that was they're missing out. It may have been a mistake. I just think it's so odd when you're still working in that universe and what was the mythology they were missing? Like, they didn't have a Gungan, they didn't have Jar Jar in it. Like, I don't know what's missing.
Okay, well, this is the part that I think is interesting. It's that he was saying that the original ones were for kids and for kids to fall in love with it. And that the newer one is for nostalgic purposes of just the love of the franchise and capitalizing on what everybody loves.
Right.
I think that it does both.
Yeah.
I think it's still for kids. You see kids rocking Kylo like no tomorrow and the girls rocking Rey or whoever rocking Rey. But I also think that it does stay with the mythology. I don't know. What do you think?
That's a good argument. I hesitate to use the term family films because there's like a connotation that is attached to that. But I mean, these are films that the whole family can watch. I don't think it's necessarily the whole viewing maybe for kids five or younger, but I still think you could catch pieces of it and play with the toys and then grow up with them kind of like you did with, you know, the original Star Wars movies and the prequels. So I just disagree with them on this. And I think, I think they do work like that. And I think that's different, a little bit of a different conversation, where like the mythology doesn't necessarily have to just adhere to kids. It can adhere to everyone.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I think so.
Yeah. No, it does. It kind of goes, yeah, it gets confusing in my head where I think one is wrong or right. But I don't know. It was a weird comment, but I don't necessarily disagree with him. I think it's both, though.
I think we're at a time where, look, there's a pandemic, Ahmad Best. Let's just embrace the movies. Let's just, like, love them. Let's throw out good vibes. I don't know what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
You at home, social distancing, and just, like, yeah.
But also, Rye, if you think of it, the prequel trilogy, the ending to the story,
is
of
dark.
Course it has to adhere to the nostalgia of the movies that came before it at the same time as providing a new love for kids to fall in love with. Like, it did absolutely both as it should have.
For the prequels or for the sequels?
Sequels.
Oh, yeah.
The sequel trilogy. I think that you have to adhere to the past and like talk about it and involve it or else.
It's a tall
bill.
That's
the way it should go.
I mean, that's why, and we even talked about this, I think, when we reviewed episode 9 back in December. They had a tall order to fill with that movie because you're not only ending this trilogy, you're ending 4 decades of Star Wars fans and movies and love, and you have to connect it all. And look, it would have been hard for anyone to really do that. And yeah, it probably would have been a much longer movie if they were going to try to satisfy that need more. So it's a hard mm-hmm. task. It's not like the Avengers, which, yeah, there's more movies they're ending with Endgame, but that was only 10 years of nostalgia. You know your audience. This is four decades of audiences, and it's almost impossible to satisfy them all.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of funny that you said that. because you could tell he was trying not to be offensive, but he wanted to say his opinion.
Yeah, he had to share that opinion. And I still
love
can't wait.
People.
I want to see Legends of the Hidden Temple, Jedi Temple edition. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jedi.
And then, yeah, the one and only Mark Hamill shares his tribute letter from Skywalker saga box set.
Oh my gosh.
I want to pull up part of what it says.
Yeah, this was so cool. So if anyone doesn't know, the Skywalker, the whole entire Skywalker saga is out on Blu-ray. It's all 9 movies from episode 1 through 9, and it has all the special features, deleted scenes, and Mark Hamill. It's a really expensive product, by the way. It's I think like $180. It's really expensive.
I think it's $249.
$249? Oh, Blu-ray probably. $249, you probably
yeah
going.
The 27 discs.
27 discs, that's 3 per movie. And Mark Hamill included a little personal handwritten letter. I actually pulled it up if you don't have it, Steph.
Yeah,
I can read a part of it real quick. It says, "What an extraordinary journey it's been. Back in 1976 when Carrie Harris and I were testing for our roles, that was called The Adventures of Luke Starkiller. It as taken from the Journal of Wills, Saga 1, The Star Wars. There's no way we could have known what an incredible, rich, imaginative set of adventures this obscure little space movie would launch, inspiring 8 more chapters to tell the entire Skywalker story. For some of you, that journey began with us over 40 years ago, inviting Star Wars into your lives from the seats to a few dozen theaters in the first days of release, and for others, you joined somewhere along the way, from a harrowing saga of young Anakin's descent into the dark side in the prequel trilogy, or the induction of an entirely new generation in the sequel trilogy." And then he shouts out Carrie Harrison and the rest of his letter, and it's just like a really sweet one, and he's dedicating it to George's galaxy far, far away. He says, "May the Force be with you always." Now, there's one real interesting line here that he says. He says, I am deeply thankful for your continued enthusiasm and dedication to George's galaxy, which I will continue to grow with new storytellers building even bigger galaxy filled with heroes. He said, which will continue to grow. So it almost, I think it's that end note on the Skywalker story. I think he's done, but I think he phrased it in a way where he could pop up in other stuff, but his story is over. Did you take it like that?
Yeah, I never think that. I feel like he could have a Jay-Z retirement where he says he retires, but then he still makes music every single year. So that could happen where he just pops into whatever he wants because he's Luke Skywalker and he can do whatever he wants. Or I think he will just be done and then maybe just EPing projects or looking over scripts or just being involved in some capacity.
Yeah, I think he could always be in like the realm of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, who knows? He could pop up in as a ghost in other stuff. And I just love Mark Hamill. He could even voice act on a total new character like he did in Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. But really,
it was surprising because another article we had was that Natalie Portman has never met Mark Hamill.
Crazy.
And she said in a 2018 interview that she hadn't met him. And a fan asked him, they tweeted at him if they've met yet. And he said, no, still, but he wants to. I don't know how that happens. That's her son.
That's wild. Like, that's just crazy. I never would have thought. Like, Padme has never met Luke. And I was looking into this a little bit. So when the prequels were premiering, of course, like the original trilogy, cast and crew were always invited. And I think Mark Hamill just kind of wanted them to have their time in the sun. And he just never got too much in the limelight. Like, he didn't want to take away from their moment, this whole new generation. So they never met, which is just, I can't believe that, and they still haven't, and now we're in quarantine, they're tweeting at each other.
I know, but he said, not yet, it's very high on my 2020 to-do list, #meeting my movie mama. I hope they meet. That would be so epic.
That would be cool.
Rye, do we have a game today?
We do, but the thing we have to do right before the game is we have those images stuff.
Oh my god, I missed that.
It's all good.
This is why you're my number one.
It's all good.
You guys, these are such dope images from the High Republic, and we have to talk about the High Republic.
We do need you want to bring that up? You're more than welcome to.
We made a Twitter account called the Higher of Republic. I should probably pay more attention to it during quarantine. That's a great time to build on it. But I thought I should bring that up while we're bringing up these images. But these are so dope. I'm sure that many of you have seen most of them, but I really want to talk about each of them because I want to be in it.
Yeah, I know. That's what we want. So check this out. We got... First off, these are the book series that are coming out later this year, The High Republic, taking like 100, 200 years before the prequels. And we got Jedi photos. This is Avar Kriss. She is a blonde holding a green lightsaber. Steph, what do you think?
Is that a crown? Oh, yeah.
I see, yeah, there's a little tiara.
So dope. Not the outfit I would rock. I feel like it would get a little bit intrusive on the arm specifically, but very, very dope. Very, what is it? The Knights?
Jedi.
No. Not, okay, Rye.
Sorry.
No, you know where you can go eat a big turkey leg and you watch people do fake horse games?
What is that?
Medieval times, like very fair? Medieval her outfit. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking it looks a little medieval. It looks like the High Republic. I'm interested, like you said, about that tiara. But yeah, I think this looks really cool, and I'm into it. The other Jedi we got is, let's see if I can easily change to the next one here. Okay, here we go. This is Keeve. I think that's how you say Keeve Trennis. Double bladed green lightsaber and a sick haircut.
Yes. Keeve Trennis is the one to watch out for.
This is pretty cool.
Coming with a vengeance.
Yeah. And who else we got? This one's really interesting. So this one's Loden Great Storm. That's his name. Great Storm.
I wish that was my last name.
But he's got a yellow lightsaber. And green people in Star Wars, especially Jedi, are used to, you know, they're known to be pretty wise. And he kind of looks like Kit Fisto in true. A way. Like, he might have a little bit of, like, a water ability. He can maybe breathe underwater.
Yeah.
This guy looks really strong. His belt looks kind of odd.
Yeah. Definitely down. A high waist belt. I'm not usually used to seeing that on Jedi, but... I love the scarf cape that he has.
Yeah.
It's a good look. Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really cool.
Quick shout out. You mentioned the Renaissance Fair. Brandon Hanna in the chat saying, well, they did mention, I believe, that this era of Jedi is heavily influenced by the Knights of the Round Table, which that is what they're saying. So that seems to be what we're getting. Here's the next one we got. This is Stellan Geos, which that looks like a Stellan.
Totally, but is that an iPhone case on his leg?
That is probably an
that,
iPhone
I
case.
I swear that would fit my iPhone right in there.
That looks just... I'm going to zoom in for the audience real quick.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
looks,
zoom in because...
That is an
either
iPhone
like
case.
That's an iPhone case or a weird gun holder.
Yeah, that could be a gun.
Anyways,
holder.
He looks like a bachelor contestant.
He also kind of looks like the guy who's going to steal your girl, and I'm a little...
Yeah.
I just think he kind of looks douchey. Like, I'm not
yeah,
this guy.
He totally looks like president of the frat of the Knights of...
Oh, he's the frat Jedi. You know, he's got a little, like, he's got a little knight sword, sort of Kylo Ren-esque on his lightsaber there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the last
that
one.
That would be interesting.
This is Vernestra. Vern, in quotes... Row,
love her.
Yeah, she looks very.
Love the green. I'm surprised that she went with a blue saber, but I respect it.
Well, if you're green, would you go with a? Oh, I guess Yoda did.
Yeah,
say if you're green,
I would.
Yeah, I guess you would. Yeah, it is a little interesting.
100%. She definitely looks the youngest, I would say.
I think, yeah, this looks like a Padawan. And maybe this is one of the Jedi we just kind of flashed through as Padawans. This could be our main character, for all we know. But
yeah.
Vernestra, Vern, Ro, really cool. And I think that's all of our Jedi for
love it
for this. Yeah, really cool. So quickly going back. And Steph, you did ask if we had a game today. You know, the past couple weeks, and Steph, you got to come up with a game one of these weeks because I am doing The Price is Right once again. This is the Death Star edition, though.
I'll do a game next week.
That would be lovely. This is The Price is Right Star Wars. So basically, guys, like if you've ever watched Price is Right, we're going to pull up some Star Wars products from eBay, from Amazon, from other sites, and I'm going to give you all the details, and we're going to guess what the price is, and we'll see if your price is right. So what I did this week was I went off on everything. Everything was Death Star related. Everything. Sorry, I'm just pulling them up real quick. There we go. All right. So the first one, and these are kind of crazy, by the way. Whenever I do these, I try to find some really out there products, like something you would never even think of. And I gotta say, they just did not disappoint this week. So here's the first one.
Also, side note, I am the reigning champion of this game.
That's right,
I'm
you
here
are.
To
Steph kind of annihilated last week. Like, it wasn't even close.
I'm usually really bad at guessing numbers.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm not very good.
All right, well, I'm trying.
But maybe I am now.
I'm quickly trying to open these up here. Sorry about the delay here, guys. Oh, my God. This is terrible.
Right, it's okay. I can talk about a lot of things.
All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, well, we can talk about the nail polish remover. Here we go. Yes, so this is the first one. And again, these are kind of wild. So have you ever done, like, a little fire pit stuff? Ever gone out camping, like roasting an open fire? Yeah. So this is a Death Star fire pit online. And just to give you some details, yeah, this thing's pretty legit. Just a few details on it. It comes from, this is from this official Star Wars website. And it's marked down from its original price. It has has a carbon pit. It's 100 pounds. The slag is completely removed, and there's a guarantee no rust for the entire lifetime of the product, meaning you can return it if it starts to rust. That's all the details we have on it right now. What do you think? How much do you think a normal fire pit costs?
They're not cheap.
Yeah, they're a lot.
A normal fire pit, I think, is like, I could be absolutely wrong, but I think it's over $1,000.
I think, yeah, it is. Definitely is. So that could give you an idea of the ballpark. So everyone in the chat,
so
throw out your guesses. What do you think, Steph?
I think this is $6,300.
Wow. $6,300. That's a big one. Really? So you think this is like a motorcycle? This costs... Okay, maybe it's a little high. We'll see. Comparing it to the other people in the chat, we got just people saying, "Wow, that's awesome and cool." No one throwing out a guess quite yet. I think you were. I'm just gonna
what
comment.
Did you think?
Well, I'm just going to comment on the idea that you said, "Well, yeah, fire pits are usually like $1,000," and then you throw out $6,300 for this one. All right, here we got Brandon Hannah.
It looks.
Sorry. What are you going to say?
It looks so cool.
It does look cool. Brandon Hannah throwing out $2,100. We got Yash throwing out $2,500. Manny Gonzalez, $1,600. Laura Nelson, $1,800. Greg Moshevitz, $2,000. And Gregory Castillo, $1,700. And we do have a winner. And it was a barn burner between Brandon Hannah and Yash. But Yash actually wins this one, guessing $2,500. This is $2,400.
Okay, so I took that hit.
You did take that hit pretty hard, yeah. Marked down, though, from $3,400. So this was a whole 900 more, and it is, or sorry, a whole 1,000 more, and it was marked down about $1,000. So yes, Yash is on the board with one. Here's our next Death Star product here. Oh, that was just another angle of the up there. All right, so this is a toaster, a Death Star toaster, where when you put it in, it actually makes a TIE fighter burn insignia on there. You can do two pieces at a time. And this is from a very famous cooking appliance store, Williams Sonoma. So this is legit. This is a real toaster.
Bougie.
It's bougie. It's not Etsy. It's bougie.
Yep.
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that place is always horrifically marked up.
Shots.
But the toast does look the toast does look fabulous.
So
I'm gonna have to say what?
Bradley Pooper, which I love that name in the chat.
Iconic.
He first put $9.99, then he was like, wait, I meant $99.99. He's throwing out $100. Niner for life, throwing out $500. This is a toaster. This is a toaster, Niner. Brandon Hanna just saying Yosh in all caps. I think he's salty about the last round. Bradley Pooper going, changing it yet again to $25. Greg Castillo going $350. And Brandon Hanna with a $42.10. Steph, where are you landing in all this?
$75.
$75. Okay. We do have a winner. Actually, there's a few more answers flying in. Yosh putting down 72, Brandon 42, Steph with 75. Wow, he took the under on you there. And Greg going 100. Well, we do have a winner. And he's back in the game, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Hanna, 42.10. The price is $49.95. This is a $50 toaster after taxes.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. In fact, I actually have a Williams Sonoma toaster that my aunt gave me.
Oh, do you?
I do. Yeah, I do. And it's with a Stormtrooper helmet. So pretty cool stuff. So Brandon,
yeah, that toaster's legit.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. This is more current, you know. I love how we try to get people to forget about what's going on in everyday life, but you got to be safe. This is a Baby Yoda face mask that is deluxe made. And by the way, I just ordered it. So I am getting this in the mail within the next week or two.
I can't believe you didn't send that to me instantly.
I wanted your reaction on air, like right now.
I need this.
I'll send it to you after.
Thank you. Okay.
I know this
wow,
is pretty amazing.
Wow, this is valuable.
And you can get it. It's still in stock. It's just going to be like a week or two wait.
That means it's affordable.
So
I think.
Yeah.
What, Ryan?
No. What do you think?
I think.
What do you think?
$25. No, $17.
Which one is it, Steph? Which one is it?
$25.
Lock it in. Lock it in. All right, we got Bradley Pooper going $14.99. So he's taking the under on you. Greg Castillo going $7.99. And what else we got? Jack Dennis saying. It's not bad. Laura Nilsson wants this face mask as well. Laura Nilsson going a hard 25, which is what you had, right, Steph? You're 25?
Yeah.
Wow. Just waiting. Okay, Yosh going $19.99, and was just waiting on one more guess because we do have a winner. We do have a winner. Brandon Hanna going $17.99. All right, the winner is a two-way tie between Steph Sabra and Laura Nilsson. This is $25.99.
Yes!
Online. So you got within 99 cents. Well done. I think we have like a four-way tie for one right now. So this next one's going to be pretty good. But yeah, you guys can get this. We'll put the link in the description below. Really cool. And it's fun to be safe when you have a Baby Yoda face mask.
Yes.
All right. Back to the Death Star. This is a Death Star pinata. And you can get this for your birthdays. It's really legit.
It's large.
This one, yes, it is very large. And this is actually on Amazon. I was shocked.
I feel like they...
Yeah, what was that?
I feel like they make this into two things. They either turn this exact design into the Death Star, or if they just add legs and arms, it would be...
Mike Wazowski.
Yes.
I knew exactly where you're going with that. Sorry, I have to correct something. This isn't from Amazon. This is from Etsy, which could influence what you think the price is.
It does.
Because Etsy, you know, it can be a little dicey. Yep. You know, like a little, mm-hmm. little cheap. Who knows? But yeah, this is a pinata. It's about 2 feet in diameter, and it hangs from the ceiling. You can put a lot of candy in it. And it looks not great. I'm going to be honest. I just don't think this looks good at all. This is a terrible pinata. I would never buy this.
You are wrecking some Mother's Day right now.
It just looks horrible. But yeah, we got... Okay, so people are already throwing out their guesses in the chat. Gregory Castillo going $45. Bradley Pooper going $40. Laura Nilsson, another $25. Niner for Life, $75. Guys... This is a pinata. I never know how much pinatas cost.
Same,
I don't know.
I have no idea. No idea how much a pinata costs. I'm going to go with $35.
You're going $35. Brandon Hanna going in. He's throwing a reference out with his guess. He's going $94.94 for Docking Bay 94, which is on the Death Star. Love Brandon Hanna.
Noble guess.
Greg Manny Gonzalez thrown at 60, and Greg Moshevitz goes $100 for the pinata. That's a confident guess. We do have a winner, and I think this is the winner of the whole shebang, ladies and gentlemen. Steph, wait, remind me, what was yours? 35?
Yeah.
The winner is not Steph Sabra. It's Brandon Hanna, because it's $90 flat on Etsy. Brandon
no
Hanna wins it this
way.
Week. Yeah, I think he's coming for you, because you kicked his butt last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I did.
And now he's back with a vengeance. Oh, there's one more. Sorry. I spoke too soon. So you have the chance to tie. This
Ooh.
Is a Death Star tiki mug. Which, you
made
know,
out of?
Made out of marble. I'm going to be Ooh. Honest. I just guessed. I don't know what it's made out of. I don't know why I said marble. But it's ceramic. It's a ceramic tiki mug, a Greek tiki mug. And this is from the Star Wars website. So this is legit. This is a fine product. I believe the straw does not come with it.
Okay.
So this is the final one. Brandon's up 2-1. Ceramic Death Star tiki mug. For that special someone on vacation.
I'm going to say.
Do you know how much a mug usually costs? Because for me, I don't know this obsession with tiki culture, but tiki always marks it up a tiny bit. Like, not a lot,
okay.
Just a tiny bit, like a few dollars. So that's my
$29.99.
You're going $29.99. We got Bradley Cooper with $25.99. Gregory Castillo with $17.25. $15 from Manny Gonzalez, $20 from Greg Moshevitz. We got two Gregs in the chat. It's kind of hard to balance. And just waiting on a guess from Brandon, because this is the barn burner here. Laura Nilsson.
This is not fair, Brandon. Put your answer in.
Yeah, don't look it up, Brandon. Laura Nilsson throwing out $14.99. This is the final question. We got to wrap after this. And then Yash with $42.50. And
where?
Brandon's not guessing, so maybe he's disqualified from this round, because we do have to get out of here pretty quickly. So I'll give him like 5 more seconds. But
5,
4, 3. He guessed
3.
He guessed $14.14 for TC14. No, sir. No, you clearly don't know anything about tiki culture, Brandon. This is not 1414. That tiki mug is $44.99.
So yeah. I won.
So you won out of Brandon, but actually Yash won that round, because he gets $42.50.
Oh. Oh.
So I think Yash tied.
So I didn't.
You did not win at all. No, you kind of blew it there.
That was the nicest way to tell me I didn't win. You beat Brandon. Okay, I know we have to wrap. That was really fun. Thanks, Ryan. I'm going to come with a fire game next week. Don't you all worry. But until then, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Twitter. That's R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N. And at Ryan Nilsen _ on Instagram. Follow back.
You can find me all over.
Sorry.
Follow back. You can find me all over social media at Steph Sabraw, S-A-B-R-A-W. And until next week, may the force be with you.
And subscribe to her YouTube, people.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I did the new channel, you guys. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming, including Star Wars stuff. I hope to I got to talk to Ryan about that because I can't have my co-captain not there for Star Wars. Anyways, I'll see you guys next week. Bye, Rye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.